Well, to start off this morning, let's all play a game. We all know this game. Let's see how well that we can do with it. Simon says, raise your hand. Simon says, put your hand down. Simon says, give me a thumbs up. Simon says, grab your songbook. Y'all played this game before. Y'all done really well. Okay, put your songbooks up. Hey, y'all are good. Yeah. Simon says, put your songbooks up. I thought I'd catch most of you this morning. What if I said, Simon says, pick up your Bible? And what if I said, Simon says, put your Bible down and never pick it up again? Are you going to do that? Okay. Now, let's play another game. This game is called God Says. God says, pick up your Bible. God says, study to show yourself approved unto God. God says, if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. God says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. God says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father who is in heaven. God says, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. God says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. I'm trying to prove a point here. What God says is far more important than what Simon says, or anyone else for that matter. When God says, we should make it a point to participate in that activity. When God says no, we should make it a point not to participate in that activity. We are to perform the actions that God says perform. We are to stay away from the actions that God says stay away from. Now, what I want to do this morning is I want us to take a look at what God says. But before I do that, I want us first of all to focus our attention on another activity, a very, very popular activity in the world today. Not heeding what God says. And I guarantee you that every one of us in this room at one time or another have done this very thing. And we live in a world filled with people who are doing this very thing today. In Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, is a very disturbing passage of Scripture that we find the world in general doing today when it comes to religion. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. The warning here, my friends, are quite clear. And we can find similar warnings throughout the Scripture. We are not to change God's word. We are not to add to God's word. We are not to take away from God's word. We do not have the authority to provide our own commands when it comes to religion. God's word is to be left alone. And we can't simply jump up and say, Simon says to do this religiously and expect people to jump up and do it. And you can't expect to hear Pharaoh says, jump up and do this, and you jump up and do it. That authority comes from God alone. And if someone else comes along and says, well, I think this, and they're thinking something that does not come from God's word, you better leave it alone. Because you are jeopardizing not your soul only, but the souls of those who you may teach what you have just been taught. The only authority that we have is to never go beyond the Scripture. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written. We are not to change that which God has given to it. We cannot add our own flavor, our own thoughts to what God has said, and we should never overstep His authority. So I hope I've driven that point home. And the reason for that is because we cannot, never have been able to, never will be able to, match the wisdom of God. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, tells us that our own wisdom is flawed. He says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Friend, it is something that we cannot do and do well. In comparison to God's great wisdom, Paul says, we are foolish. Now, we need to know that when God says, it is truth. We can go back through Bible history. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. There was light. In the beginning, He created day after day after day. For 6 days, the creation that we live in today, God said, and it happened just that way. In Genesis chapter 6 and 7, God brought forth the flood to destroy man because he had become evil. God said, and it happened. In Genesis chapter 11, at the Tower of Babel, men began to become stronger and become self-willed and beginning to have their own ideas. And so God said, we can't have this. And God said, and the world split and separated. And in Genesis chapter 19, we find two areas of this earth become completely corrupt and evil. And God looked at their corruption and their evil, and He said, we cannot have this anymore. And God said, and Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. God said, and it happened just as He said. What God says happens, my friends. What He says becomes true. Because what He says is always truth. My friends, if we are going to live for God, if we are going to be a part of God, we must learn to listen to what God says. God's word is required. It is necessary for your life and mine. If we wish to be close to God, if we wish to be with Him now and be with Him forever, we are going to have to listen to it, to learn it and obey it, what God says, if we ever want to be set free from sin, we're going to have to turn to what He says and not what we think and say. John chapter 8 and verse 47, Jesus said, He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear because you are not of God. Those of us who are close to God will listen to what He says. Those of us who are close to God will abide by what He says. God says, do it, and you do it. On the other hand, those who dismiss God's word, those who add to it or take away from it or outright discard it, as we have read in the book of Revelation, we will find that they are not of God. They are not looking to God. They are looking to themselves, and they are looking to each other. And they wonder why God does not bless them. It comes down to what God says. What God says is comforting. It should be comforting to us as His children. Solomon, Proverbs 16 and verse 20. He who heeds the word wisely will find good. And whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Great comfort is found in what God says. The truth of God's word can fill tremendous gaps in our lives. God's word can give us hope that we have never had before. Heeding God's word and obeying God's word can lead to tremendous peace and comfort, especially when we look forward to that new life and that new home that is going to be forever. And even while we are here, by heeding the words that God has said, we will find our lives more fulfilling. We will find our lives more complete. So God's word can comfort us, give us peace, and give us joy. How can we bring comfort to ourselves? Through God's word. Let me give you some examples. You may say, well, it's impossible. I can't do this. It can't be done. But yet God says all things are possible. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible. But with God all things are possible. You look and you say, well, I'm too tired. I don't have the energy it takes to live a righteous life. This is hard life, God. But God says, I will give you rest. I love Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 11. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. My friends, we have so many trials and tribulations in this life, and all of us in this room have experienced them. Try to experience them without God. Try to find comfort that your soul needs without God. You can't do it. God gives you a peace that no one else can give. God gives you a comfort that no one else can give. And someday when all of these trials and tribulations are over, God is going to give you rest. A rest that you cannot find for yourself. A rest that will last for eternity. Because of the love of a God that loves you. Which brings us to the next one. You may have gotten to a point in your life that you're ready to say, nobody really loves me. Nobody really cares. I've had people say that to me before. Well, I'm going to tell you, my friends, today, you may lose every friend on this earth that you have, but there is one thing that you will never lose, and that is the love of God. God will always love you, and He says, I love you. He loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And not only does He love us with that kind of love, He gives us the directive to love each other with that kind of love. In John 13:34, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Love one another. You see, it is that love that comes originally from God that allows you to have peace. It is that love that comes from God that can comfort you in terrible times of life. It is that love of God that gives us that hope of that rest that is coming to us someday. And it is all because God loves us. Then some people will say, I can't go on. I've done all that I can do. I've gone as far as I can go. And then God will say to us at that point in time, when you think that you can't take another step, God introduces you to His grace. And He says, you go as far as you can, and My grace is sufficient. You know, Paul found this out as he wrestled with his thorn in the flesh. He prayed to the Lord 3 times that it may go away. And God said, no, you need this to help humble you. My grace is sufficient. You know, we are to rejoice over our tribulations in life because they test our faith. They test our endurance. It is a test of God, a test that we need to pass. And upon doing so, we need to understand that God is with us. His grace is with us. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Paul said, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast of my infirmities. Paul knew exactly what God was talking about here. He knew that those infirmities would give him strength. He knew that he could pass the test. He knew that he could take that extra step. He knew that he could keep on going because God would go with him. And God would make every step with him. And His grace would be there to help him when he became weak. And we need to know that today, my friends, that God takes every step that we take. And He is always with us. And then we may say, well, I can't figure this out. I don't know what to do next. I don't know what direction to go. I don't know how to move forward. That's what we say. But then God says, I will direct your steps. Solomon in Proverbs 3:5-6, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not upon your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. It's true, you may not always know which way to go. You may not always have the answers of life. But do you know where you can find it? From something that God has said. There is not an application in the Bible that cannot deal with the problem that you have in life. It is there. It has always been there. You just need to look at it. God's Word can solve any difficulty that you could possibly have. Because God knows how to direct your steps. And He will guide you. Then we say this. I can't do it. It's too hard. The way is too long, too difficult.
But God says, yes, you can. God says, you can do all things.
Paul, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, he tells the church there, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And do you know, in making that statement, he is telling Farron Hamner, Farron, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And you can put your own name in that verse, and you can do all things through Christ, because Christ will strengthen you and he will help you in anything you try to do. It is so important that we listen to what God says, because God does give us strength. God does give us courage. God said, I haven't given you a spirit of fear, but I have given you a spirit of love and a spirit of courage and a spirit to move on. And that's what we must do. Never say I can't, because the minute you say I can't, you really can't. It's the most detrimental word in the English language, I can't. God says, oh yes, you can. If you will only look to him for strength. And this one is probably the hardest one. I feel alone. I feel so alone. I don't have anyone to stand with me. I don't have anyone to support me. I stand by myself. I want to bring back your memory to another time when there was another man who was standing in a garden. And he had taken some friends with him to stand with him, to be with him, to comfort him, to encourage him. And as he prayed to his Father, they fell asleep. I want to tell you, my friends, my Lord knew what it was like to be alone. He knew what it was like standing in that garden of Gethsemane with his friend sleeping a few feet away and not encouraging him and not helping him. And my friends, when they put those nails in his hands and his feet, he laid there on that cross alone. No one else went through that with him. They all ran from the occasion. One even denied that he knew him. Jesus was alone on that night. And he went to that cross alone. And he died for the sins of the world. So my friends, the next time you get the thought into your mind that you stand alone, that no one stands with you, no one is there to encourage you, you think about the man Jesus Christ in the night of in the Gethsemane and on the cross of Calvary, who was there alone. And he was there alone for you. And do you know why he was there alone? He was there alone so that you need never be alone. That's why he stands by you today. Because he knows what standing alone is all about. And because of his love, not wanting you to be alone, he stands with you. And he stands by you. The least that we can do is to listen to what he says. I can't do it. I can't go on. I'm alone. And God says, you are not alone. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with the things such as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. There is someone sitting by you today. You're not alone. All you need to do is listen to what God has said. That's what it comes down to, my friends. God says. Simon Says is a game we played as a child. But what God says is a way of life. It was intended for all of us. And we must participate in what God says. Not our own words of wisdom. Not listening to those who we think are smarter than we. But the truth of God's Word. You see, its design is for us. It is designed for us to hear, for us to learn, for us to follow. And if we wish to be with God now, and if we wish to be with God in eternity, then we need to pay attention to what God says. This morning I ask you, are you listening to what God says? This morning, if you are not a Christian, God says you can be. God says you can develop a faith in your life that will cause you to change your life and repent of your sins. God says that you can confess His Son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. God says that you can be buried in baptism for the remission of your sins, that you can be redeemed, washed in the blood of the Lamb. God says this, and it must be true. It may be, Christian friend, that you have not lived a God says life. We want to give you an opportunity today to change that life, to listen to what God has said to you, a Christian who has walked away. God has said you can come home. God has said I will forgive you again. God has said you can be a part of my family again. Listen to what He says. God says. My friends, that's all that matters in our lives, to listen to what God says. God says. The invitation is yours. Please come if you need while we stand and sing.